Hey guys, how's it going? I hope you enjoyed your weekend. And also hope you enjoyed last week's episode about pharmacy residencies. My guest this week owns his own independent pharmacy, his own compounding pharmacy, and he invented an inhaler for a dolphin. Please give it up for my guest, Alan Deaver. All right, today I want to welcome Dr. Alan Deaver. He's joining us on the podcast today about his compounding pharmacy and his independent retail pharmacy. How's it going, Dr. Deaver?
Hey, doing really well. Thanks, Brandon.
So I just want to ask, just to let people know, what's the incentive of having your own pharmacy as opposed to just graduating pharmacy school and just having a nice, safe job at like a retail place, you know, a steady paycheck? Like what made you want to kind of get into the risky business of owning your own business?
Well, a lot of it started back when I was a kid, and I worked for an independent pharmacy when I was 13. And what I saw was how the entire family could be involved in the family business. And since I knew I was probably going to be a workaholic, that it looked like I need to have my family involved or things wouldn't go well with my family life. So it was that point I kind of decided that I also liked calling the shots. I didn't want to really work for somebody else. And so the two kind of meshed really well.
Okay, so it's kind of a multi-part factor. So you wanted to include your family, so you had a little more time with them, and then you kind of didn't want your own, you wanted to be your own boss, basically. That's pretty cool. So can you give me some of like the pros and cons of owning your own pharmacy?
Yeah, it's very similar to other small businesses, except when you own your own pharmacy, we are definitely one of the most scrutinized businesses in the country. Not my pharmacy particularly, but pharmacy as an industry. So our challenges are always regulatory. We have that is far more than most of the other industries have. The boards of pharmacy, FDA, DEA, FDA, all these folks may come and talk to you, especially if you're in something like compounding. Then if you're multi-state and you're shipping to multiple states, then you've got to deal with the boards of each ones of those states and corresponding licenses and requirements and laws. So that is the stuff that's the bad side. There's always the constant pull in 1,000 different directions. If you don't multitask well, you shouldn't do this job. No, you'll never have 2 days that are exactly the same. The good side of it is you're the captain of your own ship. You have so much freedom that sometimes it's not necessarily a positive thing. You have infinite choices. There's nothing that you can't do if you want to do it and put the resources of your business behind it. So that's a really cool thing, but also always makes you kind of second guess. Did I do this right? Could I have gone another direction? And then when you look at your successes, you go, yeah, I do get it right sometimes, but then maybe I should have taken a slightly different turn. But that would be the two I would see would be the biggest.
So just going back a little bit, you said you have to be good at like managing what you're doing. So how do you manage like time-wise? How do you do time management or like how do you balance? Because I know you have a compounding and like a retail setting. So like how do you manage those two things?
You know, I kind of have grown into it over the years. So it may look daunting from the outside, but it's not as hard to me because basically I refer to this as my tree fort. And if you build the tree fort and you're the boss of the tree fort, and you decide who gets to come to the tree fort, and you get to decide what you do in the tree fort, then it's a lot easier than if you just step into someone else's tree fort. So that's the way this is. I built it up from, we were doing 20 scripts a day, and took on nursing homes, went into compounding, wholesale, delivery, accounts, all that kind of stuff, but it was an incremental change. And so it's not as daunting as you may think from the outside. As far as time management goes, the most important thing is to make sure you've got good people that can handle the little things for you so you can actually concentrate on running the business. And I say this because it's probably one of my biggest faults. And I've said before, my real problem was I have not brought up enough middle management behind me for this business. And that's probably a fault that I have and something I would have done different in the past.
So you need a really dependable staff, basically, is what you're saying?
You do.
Okay. And then it's kind of cool that you said the tree fort analogy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like just jumping into something straightforward, I think, would be really hard and kind of daunting, like you said. But, yeah, if you grow with it, I guess you understand it a little better.
Yeah, exactly. It's It's something that people don't understand. It's the old story of if you carry a calf on your back the day it's born and then through it's a bull, then you'll be strong enough to carry the full-size bull. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but there is some truth to that analogy.
So who do you serve? Again, you have the compounding and then like the retail front. So what kind of patient population do you have?
We started with home delivery to mainly elderly patients in Winter Park. We moved in the early years into servicing assisted living, which helped us along. Then at that point, we got into some vitamin sales. We started a wholesale business. We actually bought another pharmacy's wholesale inventory and started in the retail wholesale business, which is actually part of our community pharmacy license. Most people don't know that. It's kind of a strange thing you're allowed to do in the state of Florida. So we wholesale to firefighters and EMTs and doctors and veterinarians and all kinds of folks, other practitioners. The other thing that we do is we've rolled our free delivery service into into nursing home and assisted living. So we've done pretty well in that over the years. That's been a real up and down business. There's a lot of competition from outside. And then probably 20 years ago, we decided we would get into compounding hormones for menopause.
Okay.
And moved into that, and now into a large portion of what we do is veterinary medicine.
Oh, wow. So yeah. You got a couple of niche markets there. That's pretty cool.
Right. We just dance between the niches. We go where the chains aren't. Most urban pharmacies, if you try to go head-to-head with a chain, you don't have the resources. But if you stay stay with a bunch of niches, there's all kinds of places that they're not very good at, populations they're not very good at servicing, and that's where we stay.
Okay, so you just kind of fill in the gaps of care.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. So just to kind of wrap up, what general tips would you have? So someone's just about to graduate pharmacy school, they really want to own their own pharmacy, like what kind of advice would you have for them?
Well, what I tell the interns and some of the graduate interns is that this is the point in your life when you need to take chances. And by taking chances, that made me trying everything that you could possibly be interested in pharmacy. If you think you're interested in working for a drug company or for a hospital or doing consulting and those things, find somebody who's doing it and saddle up next to them and find out what they do and find out whether you like it or not. And when you get to that point, then you may have a better feel on where you want to go. Too many people decide they want to do that after they're established, after they've been working for someone else for a number of years, and are locked into a mortgage, a car payment, you know, children, other obligations, and the time to do that is now when those obligations are at a minimum.
Okay, so those things just kind of weight you down, so you want to try some new stuff before you get weighted down by those.
That's exactly
other
right.
Responsibilities.
Exactly right.
So, as you were talking about before, like just kind of growing with the business, would you recommend like trying to get a loan and buying someone's business from them, or just kind of buying your own storefront, getting the drugs in? Like, what would be the best approach for that?
I think probably the best way is a junior partner ownership type situation. We often have the discussion around here with my partner about what it would take to actually get into a compounding pharmacy right now. That would be tough. To start from fresh with absolutely no customers and have to do very expensive build outs and things like that. Now, it may be a little easier just to open a retail pharmacy, which we have one of those also. But the real situation is if you don't have a whole lot of money and are not independently wealthy, the best thing to do is find someone who's retiring or who wants to sell their business and then get involved with them as a junior partner.
Okay.
And work out some way of slowly purchasing the business over time.
I got you. Okay. So that wraps up the immediate release version. If you guys want to hear more about Dr. Deaver, check out the extended release version. Thanks.
Okay, that wraps up the immediate release podcast. If you want to hear more about Dr. Deaver, his dolphin inhaler, or his cool delivery car collection, check out the extended release podcast. I want to give a big shout out to my team at Capsule Production Podcast, Jeff, Amy, and Maher. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. I also wanted to thank Sephiros for providing the music. This song is called Celestial, and you can find it at freestockmusic.com. Check us out at podbean.com, at Capsule Production Podcast, or on Facebook at Capsule Production Podcast or Capsule Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys, and I will see you next week.